Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Boss Madle. It's so wonderful to have you on our second show, and I have a great interview coming your way. Today, I sit down with Leia Sandman of Bella Chic, and we talk about everything from fashion to balance to family. Leia feels very strongly that family comes before her business, and she has created a sustainable business that fits into her life rather than running it. Leia also talks a lot about balance, and right before the interview, she mentioned that she learned from her in-laws the importance of taking a mental health break, which is taking a break from everything to spend time with your husband or yourself. It doesn't have to be extravagant or expensive. It's simply taking time to regroup, turning off your brain from everything in your life, your work, your kids, and you can do this with or without your spouse, but giving yourself some space can really bring balance into your life and help you to feel renewed. Speaking of balance, I love this quote by Greg McKeown. I think I'm butchering his name, but anyhow, he is the author of Essentialism, which is one of my favorite books. If you haven't read it, make sure to do so. I think we've been oversold the value of more and undersold the value of less. I love what he says because I think it ties in so well with what Leia and I discuss and the pressure that so many of us face today about doing more and more is more. Greg continues by saying, to discern what is truly essential, we need space to think, time to look and listen, permission to play, wisdom to sleep, and the discipline to apply highly selective criteria to the choices we make. So I am challenging myself to create some space and time where I can reflect on what is truly essential, and I encourage you all to do the same. One more thing before we start the interview, I want to clarify. Leia and I talk about the stylist for Carrie Bradshaw's character, and I said it was Sally Field, when it really is Patricia Field. So one is a movie star, and one is a stylist. So without further ado, let me introduce our guest today. Leia Sandman is the founder and curator of Bella Chic, specializing in vintage clothing accessories and antiques since 2008. As a busy mom, Leia intentionally puts her family first and has created a sustainable business, one that works for her. Leia, welcome to the show. Hi, Leia. Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me. This is a first for me.
This is a second for me, so don't worry.
Okay.
We're going to do this together.
All right.
So I wanted you to take us back a little bit and tell us how you started your business.
Okay. So, these questions got me thinking. Mm-hmm. My husband was in law school and I, was a stay-at-home mom. I was trying to think of different things that I could do. And I just woke up one day. I'm like, I want to sell vintage aprons. So I ran the idea.
Wow.
Yeah. By a few friends. And they're like, okay, just because you collect vintage aprons does not mean that people are going to buy them from you. But so it kind of like overnight evolved into, I'm going to put together a trunk show of vintage clothing and accessories. And I don't think anybody was doing something like that, like a pop-up like that. I think it was one of the first. I actually have the original invite.
And how
back
long ago
in Crown
was it?
Heights. It was two, my daughter was 4 months old. So when she is turning 11 this year, so almost 11 years.
Oh, wow. So you are ahead of the game.
Yeah. And I had my first pop-up at a friend of mine's house and I focused a lot on accessories, actually no aprons, ironically. And I sent out invites via Facebook and friends and just tried to let everybody know. And people went crazy over the vintage clothing because nobody in Crown Heights really like ever had access unless they were like into it,
right.
Then they would go to different places in Brooklyn and Manhattan. It was a huge success. I mean, I made profit on that first pop-up. I don't even think that is something that I've, like when I was speaking to a lot of, young women that were also like entrepreneurs, and I asked them advice. They said, you know, you might not be successful the first 5 years. So I was a little bit nervous and discouraged, but I was like, I'm just trying it. And it was, I mean, I made profit that first show ever. So it was a great feeling. Although I do feel nervous before every single show, even though it's 11 years, every single pop-up, I'm nervous. But
that is amazing to hear.
That's where it started.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing because I think so many people think, you know, once you get used to something, you know, you have absolutely no fear. But I think that's something that most entrepreneurs deal with daily or every time they try something new or every time they have an event. I think that's kind of, you know, part of the package, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Wow. But that's incredible. So clearly you've always had a love for fashion, right?
Yes.
That goes without saying. Yes. What are some of your favorite fashion designers or what is exciting in fashion right now?
Okay, that's a hard question because it's more when I see the fashion now, I kind of see errors. So
that's interesting.
So because I'm so like, that's my train of thought. But so right now I'm seeing like a lot of 60s and actually the 90s are coming back with a vengeance, which I'm not thrilled about, but I'm trying to find what I like in that. In that era. But me personally, I mean, I love what Dolce & Gabbana is doing now and Oscar de la Renta. They're very girly and feminine and polka dots and florals and things like that. Those are always my number one things that I look for personally. But I do make a lot of my own clothes. I have been.
Interesting.
So I like to come up with my own designs. I don't sew them myself. I should get sewing lessons, but I have a seamstress that I work with and she creates what my vision is. And that's my favorite thing.
Interesting. I think a lot of the designers now have a nostalgia for what is beautiful and classy. And maybe there's some pushback to the whole crazy, cool, different kind of look and a little more about tailored and beautiful fit. And which goes right back to vintage, right? Because that's really what you find when you shop vintage.
Yes. And it's funny because it all depends on when, you know, when I first began, I was looking more for the 50s styles because that's what everybody wanted to look like. And I would look at, you know, the 60s or the 70s and kind of turn up my nose and be like, no, like I am not buying that to resell. It's just not what people are looking for. And it's just almost 10 years later. And that's like, you know, I walk into stores and I kind of make a beeline towards all that. That 70s stuff, which I said I never would look at, although I'm very careful about what the fabrics are. That's still something that's very important to me. I still haven't quite got comfortable with that cheap polyester. So if it's going to be a poly, it's going to be a well-made polyester.
That's interesting because I think some of the poly ones can tend to look a little costumey.
Yes.
So that's very interesting that you said that. And that kind of leads into my next question is if someone is new at this or they go into a vintage shop, do you have any tips for them on what to look out for, what to avoid? Clearly, the poly is one of the top things to avoid.
Well, some people like it, but my best advice I can give somebody, never, ever, ever buy something that smells of smoke because you will never get that smell out.
That is interesting. See, we would not know that.
Yes, you will never get that smell out. Trust me, I've tried. I've actually created a, like, I don't want to say a scent, but it kind of will take away some of that vintage smell. I never went forward too much with it, but I did create this little glass like bottle. I bottled this, I'm rambling, but a potion that kind of will take away the vintage smell. Yeah. And it works, but it will not work on smoke. That will never come out. You can try whatever you want. It will never come out. There's other things also. I mean, you know, let's say a dress is older and you kind of pick it up and it tears, but if it tears on the seam and the fabric still feels good, it's just that the threads have deteriorated, but the fabric is still in wonderful condition. You could just, you know, re-sew all the seams. It doesn't mean it's a lost item. It just means that, you know, the threads are old. So not everything that's torn means it's garbage, but that and, you know, certain stains won't either come out. So I would say if you know, just certain things are just not worth it to even buy. You're not going to be able to use them or wear them unless you're buying them to use as a pattern.
Interesting. Copy. So, like, don't fall for the 70s Pucci label if it's got a huge stain on the center.
No, no. Yes. Well, you know what? If it costs you, if it's really cheap and you're willing to soak it and try different things to get the stain out, then, you know, it might be worth it. I've done that and I've, you know, gotten stains out, but there's certain stains like under the arms. Mm-hmm. I know it's not glamorous to say that on the radio, but just don't bother. It stains, right. It discolors the fabric color, and it's just, unless it's big enough that you could take it in and cut it out. You know, I get very creative with things. I don't look at a dress and say no because it doesn't fit me or because it's ruined. I will look it over and see, can I do anything with this? You know, if it's a long dress and it could still look fabulous as a knee length dress by cutting off the length, you know, wherever it was ruined, then, you know, then it's not something that goes to the garbage. It's something that is really valuable.
Right. So you think out of the box with each piece sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do.
Interesting. Yeah.
When people shop by me, I try to give them a vision like of what they can do. So I could publicly say that I am against wearing shirts underneath dresses. I have always been. I will never tell somebody to buy something and put a shell underneath it.
Right, like a kikiriki.
Exactly. I can't even say the word. So thank you for saying.
I'm with you on that one.
I didn't realize what kind of impression I made when my daughter was in camp and her counselor told her for sneeze reasons she has to put a shell underneath a certain blouse she was wearing. She said, my mother will be so mad at me. I can't wear that. And I'm like, oh my God. What have I taught my daughters? I was shepping a little nachas, but I felt a little bad that I've taught them that.
Right. So, well, you know what? You've got a unique, you know, sense of style and point of view. And that's why you're successful, because you know what works, you know what kind of looks sloppy and messy, and you're honest with your clients about that.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the most rewarding part of your job?
So, honestly, it's like when I walk into an event, like a wedding or a bar mitzvah, or I get pictures that I don't even post half the pictures that I get because a lot of my clients like their privacy. But when I see, you know, I'll walk into a wedding and I'll see four or five people wearing dresses that they've bought for me or coats or anything. It's just like, it's the best feeling just to see my clothing being worn.
I can imagine.
That's just, you know, that's satisfying. You know, I don't have to even tell the world. I know for myself how great it feels. Because honestly, I know for myself when I'm in pictures, I've convinced myself or it's the truth that I don't think that I translate well enough in photos. I feel like I look better in real life.
Well, you know what it is? I think photos are hard. I do interior design and I have the most beautiful room, but because photos are one dimensional, sometimes things fall flat, certain textures, colors.
Yes.
That are so beautiful in real life, but you can't see it in a photo.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I hear what you're saying. So, I can't imagine a better feeling than walking into a room and seeing, you know, beautifully dressed women. That sounds absolutely amazing. And you know, what a fun thing to do. I'm assuming that with your business, there are certain challenges as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there a particular fear or challenge that you struggle with or that you have struggled with and you were able to overcome?
So I thought about this question a lot because I think there's probably more than one.
Fair enough.
But the first one I mentioned earlier, it's just, you know, each pop-up that I make, you know, I get that butterfly feeling like, will it be okay? Will people come? Will it be successful? And I'm doing this 11 years and I still remember the two that were very unsuccessful. I still remember those. But I will pat myself on the back that it's only been two shows in 11 years. So I can't be hard on myself.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And then, you know, when there's times where I'm not as active in my business because there's something else going on in my life and, you know, you're on Instagram and it's like my best tool to my business and the worst tool to my business. Because even though I know in my head that what I'm seeing is not real necessarily, because I know what sometimes when I put up a post and how I have to manipulate the photo to make it look the way I want it to look, it's still, it's, you know, it could be very discouraging to, you know, living out in Connecticut and seeing all these other, you know, entrepreneurs at these events that I either didn't get invited to or couldn't make it to, even if I did get invited to, or, you know, just seeing people's lives that look perfect when they may or may not be. But that is, I don't want to say it's a fear, but it's, I don't know how to put it into words, but I think a lot of people deal with this.
Yes, absolutely. I just interviewed Devorah Bookett from Bell Events, and that was her challenge as well. She said that at times she just has to get off the train, you know, the frenetic pace of Instagram, because it can be very challenging. And I face the same thing. I think most women do, even if you're not an entrepreneur, if you're a mom, it's just the idea of seeing something very filtered, very curated online. And life is not always like that. Life is beautiful, but messy. And I think it's a challenge we all face.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'll have to thank my friend Adi, because Adi Heyman, she was speaking to her, and she's like, you need to delete Instagram from your phone. This is enough. And she kind of put me in my place and did not let me get, like, pulled me back, you know, and reminded me of this, because, you know, the more you see it, the more you get caught up in it and think, you know, just, you know, not think bad about yourself without even realizing. And you kind of just get lost in that whole spiral. So she was good. She pulled me into place.
That's great. I think we've all been there. So I appreciate the honesty, you know? Now you are a busy mom, of course, and you're juggling this business. So what does balance mean to you? And I know that some people don't even believe in balance, but you know, how do you manage that? The two roles?
Oh boy. That's a hard question. Cause I do think I may have, I don't know if there's, if other people have the same idea of what balance means to me. So this is balance for me. It doesn't mean that I think that this is balanced for anybody else.
Right. Balance can be very personal.
Yeah. So I always need to be there to send my kids off to school and to be the, to be, pick them up from school and hot supper on the table. Obviously it hasn't always been like this. Like when I started my business, my husband was not working. And so I was in New York a lot because I was probably doing pop-ups once every 3 weeks. And so he was there for the kids, which lasted only a very short time once he started working. But because, you know, like I said, he was in law school. So those are really, really important to me to show my kids that they come first and my family. And they're like, after this last baby, so I have five children.
Oh, wow. Kananahara.
Yes. And the fourth child, when she was 5 weeks old, somehow I just had it together and I made a pop-up when she was 5 weeks old. I don't know how.
Wow,
I just had the energy. I went right back into it. With this last baby, I took a very big hiatus.
Good for you.
Not because I couldn't get it together. I could not just couldn't get it together. I don't know why she was different than the other ones, but I just, so at that time that was balance for me. My business was second and my family and kids were first. And I couldn't, the same things that I was able to do, you know, 5 years prior to this baby, I just couldn't do it this time. And, you know, at first I beat myself up a little bit, and then I was just like, this is where I'm at right now. This is where I'm at. Like, just get over it, Leia. You know what? But somebody recently asked me, like, what sustainable fashion means to me. I said, actually, I find my job is sustainable. I took off time after I had a baby. I dabbled a little here and there. I still work directly with clients that have been shopping with me for years. But as soon as I was ready to jump back in, my business was there. So I like to say that my own, like the business that I built is sustainable for me. I don't know if that makes sense, but
that makes total sense.
That's kind of the balance that I've found. Again, you know, family first, because I have memories of coming home to hot dinner and my mom always being there. And I think that it really gave me the stability of what I, you know, what I have now to give to my family. So I do feel like that's important.
I've heard people say that balance sometimes isn't about, you know, doing 50% of, let's say, work and 50% of family time and having it divided equally. It's sometimes more about doing something really well, being completely in it, being in the flow, and then switching out of that role into another role. So, you know, when you're right. with your family, you know, it's all family. When you're at work, it's work. Obviously, when you're a mom and you get a phone call from your son's school that he's sick, you know, these things happen. Right. But more what you said about figuring out your priority, sticking with it, and, you know, kind of going through these roles, not necessarily at the same time, but rather what Absolutely. Works best for you. Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
And to, yeah. And to add to that, it's funny because a friend of mine used to work and now she doesn't. And she's like, I don't know why. I'm not getting anything done. I don't even want to leave the house half the time. And I'm like, don't you remember when you worked, you just got so much more done. The less time I have, the more I get done. Like if I know I have 2 hours to do my grocery shopping and, you know, to make dinner and to pick up something and drop something off at the post office, somehow I get it all done in those 2 hours. When I have like 2 hours and I just have to go to the post office, somehow that's all I get done. It's not that I work well under pressure, but I just find the more busy I am, the more I get done. And I just kind of, that's also kind of what balance could mean, where I just get what I need done in the time that frame that I have.
Right. More efficient at time management.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that. So what advice would you give someone who is just starting out? And it could be in any field or your field.
Right. So, you know, I have advice for, this might not be for like a young girl starting out that doesn't have the responsibilities of a family. Mm-hmm. But since I'm in that space right now, that's kind of where I could give advice. But I've heard over and over again where people are saying that they do this business for their children because they want to show them that women can be successful and women can do anything just like men. And I never connected to that kind of mind, like train of thought, because I just felt like, I feel like the way I could teach my kids is to that they can, you know, do something like what I'm doing, like have a business and have a family, mm-hmm. by showing them that they matter, that they come first. And you could
like
do
that.
Both, but I don't need to prove to my children here that I can have a business so that they could have a business one day.
Right.
No, I want to teach them the balance that I feel is important. Like I've had so many opportunities that, you know, that have come my way that I've declined on because I just don't want to be MIA in bringing up my children. I feel like it can't be both me and my husband that are too busy for our family. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to fall through the cracks. And I prefer if my husband is the busy one.
Right.
I'll do, you know, like, so that's kind of what I would tell somebody if they were in my position of, you know, being married and with children or even just having children or having responsibilities, that don't feel like you have to teach them how to, you know, how to be a successful woman in that respect. I feel like teaching them that you can have the balance and put what you feel is important first, which to me is my family.
Right. That's a very thoughtful way of going about it.
I hope.
Yeah.
Because that's my,
no,
that's
great.
My, that's how
I think
of it.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful, really. And also not every kid is going to necessarily want to be an entrepreneur or have their own business. So it's more just about really putting what you care for first, which is wonderful. So lastly, I wanted to ask you, what are you most excited about for your business this coming year? Is there anything new you're starting? Is it just continuing what you've done so far?
I think I'm going to try to push myself a little bit more. Mm-hmm. My baby's in school full day, so I have, you know, more time that I can get things done.
Nice.
My kids go to school from 8:15 to 3:45, but I pick my baby up a few minutes early. So okay. I have a lot of hours to get a lot done. So
you said you could do grocery shopping and dinner in 2 hours, girl, you have.
Yes.
You could do a lot in that time frame.
Yes. So that's what I want to I want to really push myself more.
Right. Well, that's exciting. That's great.
Yes.
So we are down to our list of short questions. This is where I fire a couple of your favorites, favorite questions at you. Okay. Feel free to skip any, but we'll start with your favorite book.
Okay. So there's two books, and there's actually more by this author, but the author is Caroline Reynolds Milbank. And
oh,
she,
never heard of her.
Yeah, so she's basically, her books are about fashion. So the two that I have, which were recommended by a dealer that I work with from my first show ever. And she really taught me so much about errors and all the things to look out for and how to figure out which dress is from which error with the zippers and the seams and the styles. Like, you know, she really taught me a lot. So I have to thank her. And so one book is called The Evolution of American Style. And the other one is called Couture. And it to me, it's like, it's almost like a manual because it's taught me so much. And I'm fascinated just by the pictures and it's separated into errors, one of them. And the other one that I mentioned, taught me a lot about really high end couture designers that back in the day were something. And now they might not be a known designer, but it was helpful in particular if I ever came across something with a name that I did not know, I suddenly was able to, like, I came years ago, somebody gave me a garbage bag full of clothes that she was getting rid of. It wasn't even a person I know. They reached out to me. So I went through the bag and I found quite a few labels that I knew of, but then there was this one label. And the name was Rudy Geinrich. And I did not have this book yet, but I called this dealer that I work with and I asked her, you know, if this name meant anything. And she's like, are you kidding me? If you have an original Rudy Geinrich, and I hope I'm saying his name right, he is the designer that created the first two-piece bathing suit.
Oh, wow.
You could Google him right now. He was.
Oh, I will.
He's really important. He is really important in vintage fashion history. He's just a really, this is a collector's item. I still have it. I haven't done anything.
Wow.
With it. It's a collector's item. And I probably would have thrown it back in the garbage bag and donated it. So these books, I could read them over and over and over again. They're kind of like I said, a manual for me. So I love them. I mean, there's other books also that for reading material that I have also enjoyed, but those are really for my business, how much I love it.
That's amazing. You know, I never understood the full amount of effort it took to do haute couture. You know, I always knew that it was hand sewn and there was attention to detail, but I saw that documentary Dior and I, when Rob Simmons took over Dior.
Yes.
He's no longer there, but I was blown away by the creativity and the just how they put their heart and soul into every stitch, literally.
Yes, yes. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. So do you have a favorite fashion era? I know you had mentioned briefly in the beginning of our interview that it was more the 50s, right? That was kind of your...
No.
Okay.
I mean, when I first started, that's kind of what I was, you know, attracted to, and so was everybody else. But the 1940s and the 1960s will always be, I think, you know, come back to me in 10 years, I might change my mind.
Right.
But those, and the 1940s are not really, you won't see a lot of the fashion mimic so much, but I still love it. I still really appreciate the lines and the style of the 1940s. But I also love the 1960s. So those are two of my favorite eras right now.
Interesting. And do you have a favorite style icon from those eras or at present?
Okay. So I do have a few. I love Twiggy.
Oh, yes.
She created something, just everything down to her eyelashes. She's just, not that I dress like her, but I think that she's just fabulous. I just think her whole, like, whatever she created is amazing. And then, I know this is going to sound so juvenile, but I loved Carrie Bradshaw. She was
we all loved her. We all still love her.
Yes. You know? So she is like one of my favorite icons. And I know that's not her real name, but it's, I guess it was Sarah Jessica Parker's stylist that created Carrie Bradshaw that maybe I'm in love with.
Yes.
But yeah, I loved her creativity and just the uniqueness and just her confidence.
Right.
So yeah, she was one of my favorite.
Wasn't Sally Field the stylist, I think?
I don't know. I think it was. Really?
I could be off, but I was reading this book. I have to find out the title and I'll give it to you. It's about Betty Albrecht, who was the personal shopper at Bergdorf's. And she was like this powerhouse. So she writes about working with them on these costumes and how she was blown away by just how, even for in those days, you know, it was just completely different. They would wear, you know, jeans with Manolos, and it was just so unique. No one had done that.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with
you. I'd also love to meet the stylist for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I read an interview with her.
Yes.
And it was fascinating to hear how the way she picks the styles, and she had like undergarments sewn specifically for the actors and actresses to make them look the way she wanted them to. And I would love to pick her brain one day. I would love to just listen to her talk. So
yeah.
I don't know if she's a style icon, but she definitely is somebody I'd be interesting.
She uses this color that is just extraordinary. The color combinations that she comes up with, and each one has kind of their own palette and she sticks with it. That I find really interesting. Yeah. I love that. So do you have a favorite city?
So yeah, I realize I have a lot of favorites, more than one.
Good. This is fun.
These questions.
Well, the merrier.
Yes. Well, New York City is always my first. Milan, I've only been there once, but I loved it there. And Cape Town for such different reasons than New York and Milan. But Cape Town is just so beautiful because it's so it's not even nothing to do with fashion or anything like in along those lines. It's just the beauty is just like marvelous.
Yeah.
And they just spend so much time outdoors. It's just, they really appreciate nature. So yeah, I got to go back there one day.
I went there in the winter. So now I got to go back when it's summer for them so that I get the beautiful skies and, you know, the full effect of the beach, the mountains. But
it's incredible.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Do you have a favorite lipstick shade or beauty product?
I did get my colors done years back with this woman, Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic Images. Yeah, that's her name. So
she was like one of the first, right?
Yeah. Well, there's this, her teacher was Suzanne.
Right.
And
right.
She kind of created this whole concept. So I tend to wear coral pinks and peaches. Right now I'm wearing a YSL makeup, a YSL lipstick and a MAC lipstick.
I love YSL.
Yeah. So, you know, those are my go-to lipsticks right now. But I always wear a coral pink or peach.
Nice.
I want
love that. Now, do you have a favorite life hack? Could be anything. It could be a simple habit or a little tweak.
Putting my babies to bed at 6 o'clock.
Oh.
Till they're four.
That's a key habit right there.
It's amazing. My sisters tease me sometimes when I've had to go away and I put them to bed early and it was 5:45. They would tease me. I'm like, the babies don't know the difference and they're happy. Everybody's happy.
What time do they wake up?
So each kid was different. But for the most part, 6:37. I'm a morning person, so I'm okay.
Oh, that's great. So am I.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
So yeah, it's really kept my sanity and also gives me a chance to spend time with the other kids and do things. So yeah, my youngest always has an earlier bedtime.
That's fantastic.
Right now, all my kids have different bedtimes, which that's not ideal, but that's just the way it is when you have such different age gaps.
Right. Because you already have preteens or teenagers?
My oldest is 16.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. And he lives in the dorm. So thank God I don't take care of his bedtime anymore. and, you know, my baby just turned 2. So that's a nice age gap.
Yeah. Wow. So I love that. That's great. Now, do you have a favorite easy dinner? I know you said you'd like to serve hot meals. Anything that's super easy and quick?
Yeah, my kids love Taco Tuesday. That's easy. Yep. Just tacos, rice, ground meat, and they're happy. Usually I always try to serve a vegetable. And yeah, we actually do that every Tuesday.
That's great. Love it. And the last question, do you have a favorite quote or saying?
So of course, when I was thinking about this question, I was going back and forth, but I think ultimately I always come back to this, and sometimes I say it and I kind of have to repeat it in my head to really believe it, but it really does keep me grounded a lot. So the Yiddish version is Trach gut vet zayn gut, and the English translation is think good and it will be good. And this could be explained in so many different ways. And I just think that kind of really does get me through life a lot.
Yeah. And I think being raised Chabad, I always heard that from my parents all the time.
Yes.
I'm sure you did too. And
yes.
I think the Bava Cherubi was on the forefront of that, because now you've got all these books on manifestations and positive thinking and positive energy. And this is really the foundation of it. Think good and it'll be
exactly.
good. I love
exactly.
it. That's great.
So that's kind of my quote.
Good. It's a good one to live by, for sure. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your honesty and a little bit of a background on, fashion and vintage. Can you tell listeners where they can find you?
So I have a website, but I haven't updated it. So maybe when I get to 10K, I'll update it. Right now,
okay.
Right now you can find me on Instagram. I am on Facebook, but I don't really check it. As my daughter said, it's ancient. Facebook. So I'm on Instagram right now, and my contact info's there. Via email or text.
So it's Bella Chic Vintage, right?
Yes. So my business name is actually Bella Chic, but my Instagram handle is Bella Chic Vintage.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Leah. And
thank you for
looking
having
forward
me.
To see what you do next. And I'll try to make that next pop-up shop in New York.
Yes. Yes.
That's
Maybe
my
one
goal.
Day I'll make it out to LA.
Oh, yes. You would have a ball with all the vintage, let me tell you.
I know. Actually, ironically, my first ever item that I bought was I was in LA for the summer with a friend of mine that lives there or mm-hmm. lived there. And she took me to a vintage shop, and I still have my blazer. I should take a picture and post it.
Oh, you
and
should.
I bought this turquoise velvet blazer. I believe the store was called Buffalo Exchange, and
it's still here.
Yeah, not everything was vintage there, but this is vintage. I actually think it is even a flight attendant's blazer, just from the label, from the 70s. So yeah, look out for that post. I'm going to take a picture. But yes, LA has great stuff there.
but I'm sure you've got plenty in Connecticut and New York as well, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I work all across the state of Connecticut, so.
Oh, that's like shopper's heaven.
Yes, there's a ton to dig through over here.
Wow. That's great. Well, Leah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
Yes, you too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.